This is the CSIS Global Health Interview Series at www.smartglobalhealth.org.
Hello, my name is Catherine Bliss, and I direct the Project on Global Water Policy at the Center for Strategic and International Studies in Washington, D.C. I'm here today with Dr. Darren Saywell, who is director of the WASH program at Plan International USA. Social scientist and sanitation specialist, Darren also serves as the vice chair of the Sanitation and Water for All Initiative, which is a public-private partnership bringing together donor agencies and developing country ministries to advance action on global water, sanitation, and hygiene challenges. Last Friday, April 20th, the Sanitation and Water for All Initiative hosted a high-level meeting here in Washington, D.C. to identify ways to move the global WASH agenda forward, and Darren has agreed to discuss recent progress in this endeavor. Darren, welcome, and thank you for joining me this morning. Let me start by asking you to discuss, in general terms, global sanitation and water challenges. Why is it important that there be coordinated international action on these issues when so many of the measurements and challenges are really local and national in nature?
Great. Thanks very much, Catherine. It seems that we unfortunately spend too much time talking about challenges in our sector, and so I'm keen also to talk about some of the solutions. For me, very broadly, the challenges fit into three main categories. I think there are constraints around the types of hardware issues that we have in the sector. Do we have the right types of options? What are the sustainability patterns behind those technology types? Are they affordable? Do they work in a range of different environments? So there's something about the technology choices that we have and the sort of ladder of technology options that we're walking through. That's the first area. I think secondarily we have, and in relationship to that hardware and the infrastructure that we put in place, we have issues around use, essentially software issues. So one of the big challenges I see in the work that we're doing within Plan, and which has also come out through SWA, is how do we go about changing behavior, triggering positive behavior change, and how do we sustain behavior change over the longer term? So hardware, software, and then I think the third element is around a buzzword in our sector, the enabling environment. So we have problems with finding the right types of finance, the right application of that finance, either between subsidies or smart subsidies or tax or grants or development assistance. We have problems with inappropriate regulations in the sector, issues around technical norms and standards which don't get us to the outcomes that we want to achieve, and very often an institutional setup which is poorly coordinated, or we don't have the types of arrangements in place between utilities and householders in order to provide the right types of services. So I see the challenges falling into those three broad areas. I'd couple all of that with another point which I think complicates and multiplies those problems, and that's really where our sector sits in terms of political priorities. Water and sanitation isn't the most sexy of subjects, if I can put that in inverted commas, and so we suffer a lot from a lack of political will and a championing of our subject matter down to implementation processes. Why is all of that important? I mean, I think that we've discussed at length some of the statistics that we know in the sector. We know, for instance, that the majority of the burden of disease amongst children under five is related to diarrheal-related diseases. That's more than the number of deaths, and morbidity is more than all the deaths and morbidity from malaria, AIDS, and TB combined. But moreover, I see water and sanitation and hygiene as the key stepping stone to other development interventions. And if we can get that part right, then I think we have a real game-changing opportunity to promote greater scale of operation and greater sustainability of the services that we're putting in place.
So if you would please describe the Sanitation and Water for All initiative. What is it? How does it work? And how is the initiative trying to change, you know, sort of business as usual when it comes to meeting some of these international goals on improving access to safe drinking water and sanitation?
Sanitation and Water for All is, it's not an entity. It's not a legally instituted organization. It's a partnership between key stakeholders working on water, sanitation, and hygiene. So primarily led by developing country governments, by civil society organizations, donors, donor governments, the private sector, learning institutes. And it's really the crosstalk between those different stakeholders that I think is what adds a new dimension into what the partnership is doing. The partnership has been around for around 4 years, and I think it's really building on other existing advocacy and action-oriented initiatives that are in the sector. So I see it as complementary. It's not supplanting, but it's adding to what already exists. And what does the partnership do? It's essentially trying to achieve three things. It's working on raising political awareness and prioritisation for sanitation and water. It's trying to organise and marshal the evidence base for better decision making amongst those organisations working in that area. And thirdly, it's supporting at the national level robust planning processes so that we can try to identify and then unlock some of the bottlenecks in the sector.
So going into the meetings last Friday, could you say why they were held at the World Bank? Who was expected to attend these meetings and what the organizers' goals and outcomes were for the sessions themselves?
The high-level meeting last week was the main way in which the partnership is trying to address that objective of raising political prioritisation for sanitation and water for all. It was held at the World Bank deliberately ahead of the World Bank's April spring meetings. This is the one moment in the year when all ministers of finance come together in Washington, generally for other business. But we were being opportunistic, so we've tried to stage a meeting that brings together those powerful ministers of finance with their counterparts of ministers of water and sanitation, and importantly with a select number of ministers of development cooperation from donor meetings, from donor organisations. We had, in short, we had around 60 or so ministers who attended. Probably around 10 or so were from ministers of finance or were delegated by their ministers. The remainder were split between around 40 ministers of water and sanitation from developing countries and around 10 ministers from donor countries. The goals of that meeting, I think, were several-fold. What we were trying to do is to build a dialogue between finance and water and sanitation ministers so that we can influence upstream where the decisions about the allocation of national budgets go. The theme of the meeting was around the economic impact of investment in sanitation. And I think that this, our major outcome was to embed the thinking and the principles and the opportunity that comes from an investment in sanitation and water.
So with this group of finance ministers and water ministers and development agency ministers, that's often a group that doesn't necessarily come together and talk at least all at once. Were there any surprises or moments that were unexpected during the course of the discussions?
I think there are two things that struck me about that meeting, maybe three things that struck me about that meeting. First of all, that we had a crosstalk between ministers of finance and ministers of water and sanitation. And for 20 years or so that I've been working in the sector, that's something we've been aiming at. So I think that was a defining moment, and that's very welcome. I think the second thing is through the ministerial commitments that were made, you could pick up some of the signals and trends in the sector from a number of comments and phrases which were put forward. And that was a new departure for me. It shows where the sector is going and how new ideas are slowly becoming embedded in policy and implementation. To give you a for instance, we heard a lot more about long-term sustainable operation during that high-level meeting. So people were talking about everyone forever or making sure that when a development partner withdraws from communities that there is a wherewithal and a financial stream to maintain those facilities which are put in place. We heard a lot about the better targeting of the poor. So do we know who the poor are? Do we know where they're living, and how do we target them more appropriately through better designed sanitation programs? And we heard a lot about the financial flows going into the sector and a balance between capital investment and OPEX, or the operation and maintenance. Those two or three areas, to me, signaled some change in thinking and a different level of understanding and appreciation at the ministerial level. I think that's a signal of trend. The third area that I think was new and surprising for me was actually to have some commitments tabled, which we didn't know about until just immediately prior to the meeting itself. An example being the US government joining the partnership as a whole, which in and of itself is important, but the more relevant aspect is that they're actually putting money into the National Planning for Results initiative of SWA, which is supporting existing planning processes on the ground in developing countries as a way, as I mentioned, to unlock some of the bottlenecks in the sector. Another surprising thing for me was to hear the governments of the Netherlands, the UK, working in combination with UNICEF to support a fairly large-scale commitment to provide new access to 60 million people in West Africa and to assure the sustainability of that access, particularly water points, for a period of 10 years. That's important because it moves us away from governments making commitments around numbers and driving the supply rather than thinking about the sustainability of that operation. So I was pleased that we had people in the room, that we had some good signals of trends in the sector, and that we had some fairly concrete commitments on the table.
So now that this high-level meeting is over, where do you see things going from here for the initiative? What will be the next steps, you know, with respect to, you know, the areas that you've been focusing on around political will, research, and implementation?
The high-level meeting itself is a means; it's not an end in itself. So our work has just begun. In terms of looking at new opportunities for the high-level meeting, we think that we may need to move beyond the World Bank spring meetings. By that I mean that's necessary but not sufficient. So we may be looking at something like the World Economic Forum as a way to build a higher level debate, perhaps with heads of state or with prime ministers or other global personalities, so that we can get engagement at a different level. I think continuing to work with the World Bank, I should emphasise, is an important thing that we will do. We'll use the spring meetings as a mainstay, but I think we need to go beyond that. Moreover, I think our key next step is to move more into how we communicate and mainstream the lessons that we've learned through the high-level meeting and the preparatory process for that, and to be moving towards tracking our accountability with our partners across the partnership on the commitments that have been made. We have a small team of people working on communications and uptake of those commitments at the SWA Secretariat, and that's going to be our drive over the next year at least.
Well, Darren, thank you very much. This is Catherine Bliss at CSIS, and I have been speaking with Darren Saywell, Director of WASH Programs at Plan International USA and Vice Chair of the Sanitation and Water for All Initiative.